The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 46 of the Footmarks podcast. I'm your host, Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And you can find all of his writings, videos, and podcasts on the website goodareas.co. So go do that. And the topic of Footmarks today is Arcs of the IPL. I came up with that title. It's my second biblical, you know, title of this series. The first one was David, the all-format Goliath. So I'm really proud of that. And as the title suggests, we'll be discussing the arcs and stories of all the teams that have ever participated in what is the greatest and most cash-rich T20 franchise league in the world, in addition to some other impactful events that have happened in this league. So, Jared, let's start off with one of those more obscure stories of the IPL, the Kochi Tuskers. They competed in the league for all of one tournament back in 2011. They won 6 out of their 14 games and then failed to provide their 10% bank guarantee, due to which they were terminated as a team by the BCCI. Now, what was that all about?
Do you even remember what colors they wore?
I remember the elephant logo, and I think it might have been gray. Like, and they had Yuvraj, didn't they? I think they might have had Yuvraj.
Now you're testing me. Yeah, I think they did. Maybe they did. I mean, it was just, there was that like little point of which, what's the best way of putting it? Like, they wanted to expand. And I think there was a couple of people who were desperate to be involved and the league wasn't that mature, and there was some political pressures and financial pressures and all sorts of things put on. And they probably, you know, even you could argue Rajasthan's another example of this, where they didn't really do the due diligence on, you know, when you watch, like, you talk about how you become an NFL owner and you need to be, I don't know, a 55-year-old oil tycoon, Republican voting, you know, cigar smoker. And I don't think those sorts of things happen. And so that franchise kind of happened and then didn't happen. And it's a weird place too, because, I've spent some time in Kochi, and it's not the most crickety place. Like, biggest cricketer, I suppose, was Srisanth.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been some modern players who've come through as well of recent times. But it's not, it just, the whole thing felt a little bit, I don't know if forced is the right word, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, we need to expand. So I just thought it was very bizarre. And then the fact that they just kind of disappeared. It's, we don't talk about that anymore, but it's, we've had so many franchises already disappear of what is a billion-dollar league. Like, you don't follow basketball all that closely, but I don't know if you know, there's all these basketball teams that no longer exist, right?
Yes, I do. I did follow basketball closely for about 3 to 4 years, in which I did learn how the Seattle Supersonics became what the Oklahoma City Thunder is. It,
but that is maturity, because the franchise was transferred to a new city. But there is also, you know, the old days of basketball, of course, when it was a little bit different, and, you know, teams would sort of come up and disappear. And then you had the ABA, which was the worst league and everything. And some of those teams no longer exist and everything. You kind of expect that, because there wasn't a lot of money in those leagues. And it was literally a guy is like, I'm going to have a football team in Green Bay, right? Or actually, that's not how Green Bay worked. Green Bay was actually the packing plant and the people there. But, you know, we're going to have a football team here, right? That's fine. We expect that to happen. But this is like, billionaires and big businesses. And we all knew by the time the Kochi Tuskers existed that this was going to be a huge league. Mm. And yet they come in and they disappear. And so it's fascinating to think back and be like, we have this incredibly, this freight train league. Mm. And yet we've also got, what, five franchises that just disappeared, right? And one of them won a championship and it just disappeared.
Yeah, and we'll come to that. Of course, Kochi just lasted 1 year. So they are the, you know, most premature deaths, you could say, in the IPL. No other franchise just quit after a single tournament. But the other interesting arc, and that's what you were referring to, one of them winning a championship, is that of the city of Hyderabad. The region has two IPL titles across two teams. The Deccan Chargers won IPL number 2 under Adam Gilchrist. And the Sunrisers Hyderabad, which is now the current Hyderabad team, they've also won an IPL title. And, you know, while both those franchises have had different owners and names and colors and brands and all of that stuff, the Sunrisers did inherit the Deccan Chargers squad in its entirety back in 2012. But, you know, on their logo, they can only boast one star. Now, I would assume that on one hand, it would annoy the crap out of Hyderabad supporters that is the case. And on the other hand, there will be young Hyderabad supporters who will not know of the Deccan Chargers, which is also so tragic.
So, just to go back to basketball, because this is quite interesting with basketball, I think the Lakers are like one or two titles behind the Celtics.
Hmm.
And Celtics fans go, yeah, but you won one of those in Minneapolis, right? And so that's not a Los Angeles Lakers title.
Yeah.
But it's the same franchise that just moved to LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't even the same franchise, but it was the same squad and the same city. And quite often I'll be told in comments, oh, no, it's the same team. And I'm like, well, no, it's not. Because if it was, they'd put a second star on their shirt.
Yeah.
Then they're not even saying it's the same one, right? And again, to think that early on we had, you know, a major newspaper group buy an IPL team, win a championship, and then fall out so badly in the end that they leave after, what, they play 4 years, 5 years?
And this was, by the way, one of the most expensive teams back in the day, if you remember. They had all the big players.
Yeah. And so again, it's such a bizarre way. And you know, you look at this graphic I made, which has the win percentage of every year, and the top left-hand corner is three teams that don't exist anymore already. And one of them won a championship. It really is so weird.
Yeah. And with respect to the Sunrisers, you know, ever since they became the Sunrisers, now, they won an IPL in 2016, so not long after becoming the Sunrisers, they won. Then they lost the final in 2018 and made the playoffs in both 2019 and 2020. They were a proper unit. They were like a real team which people used to be afraid of. Like Rashid Khan was their star player. David Warner, you know, became a cult hero in Hyderabad and was their captain. And then
Mustafiza
Rahman was there. World Cup winner Trevor Bayliss was their coach. And, you know, since then, they've let Rashid Khan go. They've blocked David Warner on social media. And they've gone through multiple coach-captain combos. You know, we've seen Kane Williamson and Tom Moody. We've seen Aidan Markram and Brian Lara. And now we see Dan Vittori and Pat Cummins, which I feel like the Sunrisers were like, let's just try to recreate Australia over here. They had Dan Vittori and Pat Cummins. Let's bring them over here. It's really been all downhill ever since they've started making these erratic decisions.
Yeah, if you look at Hyderabad Deccan as a package, it's fascinating, right? They win a championship. Then the ownership group gets angry. Let's pretend that they sold the team to Sunrisers, which is not quite what happened, but let's pretend that they did that. They then have success kind of consistently with Sunrisers, win a championship, and then are perennial contenders. And then they become embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right? And this is, we're only, what, 15 years into the 16 years, whatever it is, 16th year, 17th year, into the IPL. And they've had this incredible arc of which they've somehow got a championship and had a lot of success and have now become kind of, you know, the most embarrassing team maybe over the last couple of years just because of what they keep doing. And they were so steady, right? That period from basically from their beginning until 2020, they were really a consistent threat. And, you know, and again, it just shows you how things just shift so remarkably. What happened?
They were consistent contenders, and now they've gone to someone who we can't even label as a dark horse, honestly. That's where they're at. And they're going to be pissed. The Sunrisers fans are going to be pissed in the comment section below, but that's what it is.
they should be pissed. But if they're pissed with us, they're idiots. They should be pissed with what the fuck is going on with their franchise, right? Yeah. Jesus. They should be imagine being upset at a couple of podcasters for going, do you know what? This team doesn't look pretty good. We're not very high on this team. Rather than going, how have we had 93 coaches, 93 captains, and we let Rashid Khan go? That's who they should be pissed with. But again, it shows this fascinating thing of the two-team thing, the two championships, this really steady Eddie side, and then suddenly what we're going to do now is for the next couple of years, we're just going to throw darts at a board and hope that something comes right.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, really. It's embarrassing. You said that correctly. Let's talk about the Rajasthan Royals now, right? They won the inaugural IPL title under Shane Warne. You know, then they were bang average for a fair few seasons until they got better, you know, started making the playoffs again. And then they copped a two-year suspension, you know, for spot fixing right after they got better. So once they came back after 2 years, they were again mostly mediocre. And then they lost the finals in 2022. Currently, as things stand, I would say Rajasthan Royals are a playoff team, sure shot. So it's been an interesting journey, to say the least.
They're a fascinating franchise, aren't they? Because they asked that first one, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but just no one knew what they were doing, and they got it right and they won. They don't have a lot of money. They don't spend a lot of money. They then got suspended for fixing, come back, and they're kind of at that same level. And I think that they probably did get, and I think Manoj has talked about this on my podcast, actually. They did get a little bit, making the finals is good enough, right? And, you know, and that's a really interesting thing to do, because if it was me, and I would never have enough money to buy one of these teams, but I'd be thinking the first 10 or 15 years is random. Right. If I can get myself three or four championships, right? Like literally throw some ideas at the world, at the wall, try and get three or four championships. Afterwards, there might one day be 20 or 25 teams and we won't win a lot of championships. But by then we'll have some equity. It'll help with social media, you know, all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? That sort of, you know, those football teams in the Premier League who you're just like, why does everyone keep talking about these teams? And it's like, oh yeah, but gotta remember, you know, back in the day, you know, Nottingham Forest, what a side they were when they won those champions. You're like, that was when I was five. And people are still talking about it, right? And those sorts of things do matter when you look back. You know, as someone who's a Denver Nuggets fan, right? I think we'd won the most games over a 4 or 5 year period before we won our championship, or maybe including that year. But no one respected us because we'd never won a championship, right? Yeah. So we were seen as pretenders right up until that moment. Whereas another team who had won a couple of championships before, you'd be like, yeah, but they've won it before, 1985 and 1963 or something like that, right? So there's that whole element with Rajasthan. It's like they went the other way. They went so moneyball that they were like, no, all we need to do is we're going to make a fortune off this because we've bought this franchise at this price. It's now worth this. We'll just keep making sure that everyone, we're here. We're in a smaller market, whatever. And you're just like, no, these are the years you're probably better off taking some big swings. And then later on, and they didn't do that. Now they seem to have realized, whoa, we actually can be in a situation where we can win some titles. Yeah. Whether they do or not, I don't know. But, you know, you and I both think they've got a, you know, decent enough chance this year. You know, the last couple of years, they've been a pretty good side. You know, there's holes within their side, but there's also a lot of strengths there. But overall, it's a very interesting franchise. And we haven't even talked about the fact that they also were the first franchise to really look outside of the Indian diaspora, right? So, you know, we know that the other teams like NRI Indians, but Rajasthan were looking for genuine English support, right? And I think that is a very, very fascinating one.
Yeah, they also went pink, which is something I really enjoyed. Yep. I think apart from them and the Sydney Sixers, I can't really think of another pink franchise T20 team. So
Sydney Sixers have a better shade of pink, though.
Yeah, I would agree. But, you know,
Does the Seattle team have pink? Don't I have a pink shirt of another team? I feel like I've got another T20 team that's pink, but maybe I'm misremembering.
I remember Seattle Orcas being green, but anyway, love the Rajasthan. I don't know. I just also really like that stadium. It's not one of the biggest stadiums in India, but they've got a nice feel in that. And it's an arc that I personally enjoy because, you know, Sohail Tanveer happened all those years ago, and that's one of those stories that, you know, we at least in Pakistan can never forget. Anyway, Rajasthan, of course, weren't the only team that was suspended for 2 years for spot fixing. The Chennai Super Kings joined them, but we'll get to them later. I want to talk about the two substitute teams that came and, you know, occupied their places in the two seasons where Chennai and Rajasthan were out. The rising Pune Supergiant and Gujarat Lions. Now, whilst they were substitute teams and they didn't really stick around after those two seasons, you know, the Lions finished top of the table in 2016 and Pune lost the final in 2017. Mm. Yet they were disbanded and no one ever mentioned them ever again.
That's the bit, again, have you ever seen the Simpsons episode where you find out that Principal Skinner is not actually Principal Skinner? And it's like, it's an episode, it's like, I was going to do a spoiler for a TV. No, I will. Mad Men's been out for 10 years. If you haven't seen Mad Men.
I haven't.
Very similar to what happens in Mad Men, right? And at the end of that episode, I can't remember who it is, but someone goes, and we will never speak of this again.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember the Simpsons episode.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't, right? Like, there's a couple of jokes, you know, about his real name later on, but they virtually don't talk about it again. And when I was looking at this, I was thinking, that's kind of what we did. Hmm. These were two decent replacement teams. You know, they did okay. They came in. And we all just went, yeah, but they're only going to play for 2 years. Hmm. Like, what? Why?
And everyone had that mindset from the word go.
Yeah.
It's not like it evolved into that. That's just how they were treated from the start to the finish. And they aren't even remembered. Like, I never hear anyone talk about them.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I mean, I reckon Pune, I reckon, get a little bit occasionally, especially Steve Smith fans, because I think he had a good year when he was with them I think it was Steve Smith. You get a little bit with Steve Smith super fans who talk about it. Hmm. Gujarat, when I looked them up, like, even to me, I was like, wait, what was this side again? What did they do? Who were they?
Suresh Raina was captain, I think. That's what I remember.
It wasn't even that long ago, Bayram. Hmm. It was less than a decade ago. But really, you know, I don't know why I'm comparing everything to teachers here, but they really were the substitute teachers, right? They came in, no one paid them any attention, and then they left and no one could remember their name. Again, what a bizarre thing to happen in the middle of this short period of the IPL. A, you've got two founding members suspended, which is bizarre in itself, right? Especially considering that one of the teams was owned by in Srinivasan.
Yeah,
right?
just on that.
To another level.
Before we kind of move on, I kind of want to touch that because it is a huge part of the story of the competition, right? Like, two of the original teams who won three titles out of the first eight seasons, they were suspended. And as a result of the report submitted by the Lodha committee, which became such a big deal, you know, they were banned for 2 years. And, you know, considering the fact, as you're mentioning, that Srinivasan, the big dog at the BCCI, his son-in-law was at the helm at Chennai Super Kings. So he was kind of directly or indirectly, but still directly involved. This was massive. Like, this completely shook the IPL world and it made news left, right, and center.
His IPL team was suspended, but he was running the ICC at the time.
Yep.
I mean, how are you going to explain that to people in 30 years' time? It is so... And I remember saying that to people in cricket and them going, yeah, but Jared, they're two different things. I'm like, what? He owns a cricket team that was suspended due to fixing corruption and he's still running cricket. It's so weird. And again, you know, we don't talk about it. And Cheyenne, who works with us, he was saying, oh, I don't think we could say it's fixing because all he did was bet on games. I was like, that is what the code, the fixing code is there to stop you to doing from betting on games, from giving information to bookies, from all that sort of stuff. They are all fixing crimes, right?
Yeah.
And we all know that there was a couple of players who got caught up in that and a couple of officials that caught up in that. And it went a lot deeper and a lot more full on and all those things didn't come out. But again, it just is such a incredible, what's the best way of putting it? Story arc that we don't really mention all that much anymore. And you know, to get to Chennai, right? When you look at Chennai and you just like, they have won, they've missed two seasons and they had to rebuild themselves and they still have won the equal most championships. And if they win again this year, they'll have won the most.
Yeah, they have 5 out of 14, whereas Mumbai have 5 out of 16. So that is incredible. And also, back to the fixing thing, I remember when it just happened, Gurunath Mayyappan, who was Srinivasan's son-in-law.
The enthusiast.
Yeah, his Twitter said a certain thing prior to the scandal breaking out, and then he instantly changed it. And people had screenshots of both of those things. If someone still has that record or archive somewhere, please share it with us. I'd love to see it again.
I talked to the Chennai players at the time and I said, what, because we were, I was at Crick Info and we had to find out. So I had a bunch of friends who played for Chennai and like contacting them like mad. And they were just like, look, he was there, but no one really took him seriously. And that's the truth. Srinivasan did run that franchise, right? And so it was literally run by the guy who ended up getting, it's crazy. The whole thing is so bizarre.
Also, the Rajasthan Royals guy, Raj Kundra, he got caught for something else later. Like, he had some porn stash of children or stuff like that. Like,
what?
It was bad. Yeah.
When you said guys, porn stash, I thought you meant a porn mustache.
No. Not that kind of porn stash. No. He had some sort of trafficking, charges on him. You guys are best, don't take my word for it, like, absolutely. But I'm sure that guy had some dirt on him.
Just so you're saying allegedly, of course, because we're on a podcast,
of course,
here.
Don't not everything, take my word for it.
Everything that you're talking about is completely alleged. But obviously, what you're really saying is something happened to him afterwards, also involving the law.
I'm sure if I go to Wikipedia, I'll find it.
If you Google, I just did, there's some stuff that comes up. You're right. Yeah. There was some sort of extradition thing. Point being, there's a lot of weird shit going on.
Yeah, just go and Wikipedia or Google Raj Kundra, okay? Just do that and you'll know what we are allegedly saying, not sure shot. Anyway, also, can we just take 3 seconds to condole the city of Pune, because they had two different teams, the Rising Pune Supergiant and the Pune Warriors, and both of them are lost to the sands of time and Pune do not have a team anymore.
It's kind of... Pune is a satellite city. Do you know what a satellite city is? Do you have them in Pakistan?
No, I do not even know what that means.
So I know so much about satellite cities. It's so stupid. But I'm pretty sure the phrase was, or the concept, maybe not the phrase, but the concept was invented in Australia for a city that is now actually part of Melbourne. And the idea being that at a certain point, if you just keep building your big city, prices get too high, the sprawl gets too big. Mm. And so what you really want to do is create a city outside of a city for people who can still travel in and work. Right. And so Pune has become this, that's what it is, a satellite city for Mumbai.
Oh,
and
I did not know that.
Milton Keynes is another one. There's lots of them around the world. That's why Milton Keynes didn't have a football team.
I know what you're talking about. Over here in Pakistan, we have these privatized towns open up called Barrier Town and DHA, which is either this big tycoon dude or the army who make these. And they are basically suburbs outside of big cities, which people kind of go for cheaper priced housing. And
exactly.
They commute.
Yeah. And so I don't know if Australia invented the concept or just had the first ones and then America worked out what it was and America started doing it and other places started doing it. But Pune is kind of that, right? And I know there's an old Pune, but I'm talking about the greater Pune and all that sort of stuff. But it's a weird city in that, a bit like places like Milton Keynes and Melton in outside of Melbourne. They kind of don't feel like they have an enema, like a soul, if you know what I mean, the way that they've been put together. And that's how I feel in Pune. I really enjoyed Pune when I was there, but it didn't feel like it existed for any reason that made sense. And then you look at this and you think, that's kind of what the IPL's done to them. Mm-hmm. Just like, just occasionally, we are going to dump a new franchise on you, and then you're going to work it out, but you're not going to keep the franchise, and we're going to yank it away. And I kind of like the idea that, like, every 5 to 10 years, Pune gets a team, and then they find a reason to get rid of it again. It is, you know, the fact that they've had two franchises there, because there's some pretty big cities in India that haven't had franchises.
Yeah.
And you know, the population thing is, you know, I mean, the fact that Pune had a franchise before Gujarat, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the full, you know, everything about the, you know, the political sway and everything, but having been to both areas, it's like Gujarat makes sense to kind of have a team.
Politically, it makes sense for Gujarat to have a team before
Pune. Well, even more so now, but yes, yeah. but definitely. And then Pune and Kochi, and you're just like, well, how did they jump the gun? How did they get in before, you know, Gujarat, you know, and
Lucknow,
and even Lucknow Gujarat's on their second team.
Yeah. Lucknow is also a huge center in India. So that's interesting how they also, it took them so long to get a team.
I was always would have thought that then also the other one would be, Nagpur?
There's a port called Surat in India, which is densely populated. I know about that.
Yeah. So there's a few other places that you think. But anyway, Pune keeps getting teams, and then everyone goes, it's not a real place.
Yeah, yeah. The IPL basically said that we're going to make you a team, and then we'll take it away from you just so that you know that you exist, but you're not really a team.
Yeah.
But yeah, we obviously mentioned, you know, Pune Warriors, Kochi Tuskers, and the other two teams, Rising Pune Supergiant, and what was it? Gujarat Lions. Let's talk about the newcomers now, which are still in the IPL. Lucknow have made it to the playoffs in both the seasons that they've competed in. And the Gujarat Titans have been even better. In the first ever season that they played in the IPL, they won it. And then in the second season, they lost the finals. So, you know, do you think that there is any specific reason how these newcomers have fared so much better than the previous ones? Because they came and went and didn't do anything majorly significant, right? Forget Deccan, that's a different story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But these two are already a major part of the IPL, and even the following they've built is quite immense. Like, if you go to the Ikana in Lucknow and you see all of those people in the stands, it's quite something.
Yeah, I think maybe looking back on it, the Pune and Gujarat Lions did okay. It was a messy period because also a team that was going to take up a lot of wins in Rajasthan wasn't there, and the team who might have won the championship in Chennai wasn't there. But I think they did okay. But you don't expect expansion teams to do as well as Gujarat and Lucknow have.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think crowd, obviously the ground helps in Gujarat as well, and Ikana for Lucknow. But certainly for Gujarat, winning lots of games in the first couple of years, I would be less surprised if you had an okay year and then a good year. Right, that I'd be like, I could see that happening, but I think they've both had two really strong years so far, and that to me, and you know, Gujarat. I briefly chatted to Gujarat about, you know, potentially coming on board, and you know, if they needed anyone or anything like that. They went at it a really different way, which I thought was quite interesting. They were quite insular, but the people that they were getting involved were very, very smart people, like, you know, Vikram Solanki and people like that. And Lucknow obviously went at maybe more like some of the other IPL teams. But the fact that both of them are successful at the same time, I think is the thing that surprises me the most, because you would expect one team to sort of limp in and the other one, you know, you can see expansion teams. It's not that they never have success, right? You and I both follow sports around the world. Occasionally a franchise team will have success, but consistently across two franchise teams, you would think that is much, much less likely. So yeah, I'm a bit shocked. I wonder if they've just, you know, and maybe by the time they came in, if you compare all the other new teams, maybe they were like, we know roughly how to run a franchise now. Whereas perhaps if you go back to the Pune Warriors and the Kochi Tuskers, in that period, probably we didn't really know how to run a team. And so maybe, you know, and you can clear house of some of the the issues with a franchise, with a new franchise, right? You could start afresh and just be like, oh, we think we should do this. And we can do this because there's no one here to stop us.
Also, you know, we know so much more about T20 cricket now. I mean, data analytics.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also,
exactly.
You know, how to run the logistics of a team, what sort of jobs and roles we require in order to run this thing. So I think all of that stuff helps. But still, really, really good job, because it can't be easy coming into the IPL of all leagues. And also, these are still developing arcs, Gujarat Titans and Lucknow. So let's see where they end up. Maybe we're doing the exact same podcast years later and, you know, we have something more interesting to say about them. Anyway, let's talk about the franchise now that went through a rebrand. The Delhi Daredevils were semi-finalists in the first two seasons, then changed their name to the Delhi Capitals in 2019. And they've made three playoffs in a row thereon. Or, well, 2019 to 2022. And they lost the final in 2020. In 2021, they won 71% of their matches, which is similar to what they did in 2009. And yet, they do not have a single title to their name. Now, Jared, KKR and CSK have never won that many games in a regular season, and they have seven titles amongst each other. That's got to sting Delhi.
I was shocked that they'd had 2 years that good. I sort of knew about that late period. So when does it start? I can't remember. Mega Auction was around 2018. Mm. And they went all in on sort of young Indian talent.
Yeah.
And they had those three or four good years. And I remember, I think it was Ben Jones might have tweeted at the time that they're really unlucky not to have won a championship in that period. But before that, for a lot of time, they were a little bit of a ridiculous side. But they did, early on, as you said, the first two or three years, they had some really, really fantastic years as well. And so they should have probably lucked a championship by this point, in the way that Rajasthan has, right? Mm. You know, that they should have had one period where they managed to win a championship early on, and they haven't quite managed that yet. And it's a bit ridiculous when you look at some of the years that they have put together. But it does show you that T20 is largely luck based. I'm not sure there are many teams in the league that have put together three better years than Delhi have in a row. And yet a lot of those other teams have multiple cups that they can show people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When they made it to the final, I actually believe they had a team that could win it, and then they didn't. And now maybe we see a bit of resurgence, but honestly, like the way their team is, made up this year, at best, I can see a playoff run. I do not see a title winning campaign, but maybe, cricket is a funny game. Maybe we're proven wrong. And end of the day, we're talking about how Delhi finally won a title. Another similar team are the Punjab Kings. Now, they were formerly known as the Kings 11 Punjab, which is a name I liked better than the Punjab Kings. And they
always thought it sounded a little bit Yoda.
Also, it's like, we also have the Karachi Kings and they suck. So why would you want to like become the same thing, right? And we also have the Super Kings. So now you're not super and you're still Kings. Like, what's happening over there, guys? With the Kings 11 Punjab, at least you had like, oh, this is like a different way of naming a team. So yeah, at least you had that. Anyway, their win percentage stands at a woeful 44% in the history of the IPL. But they do have like some tremendous seasons under their belt, albeit in isolation. My mind goes to that Sean Marsh opening season, the inaugural IPL season. He wreaked havoc. And then also in 2014, they won 78% of their games. That is even more than the Mount Delhi one, right? And yet to no avail. So that really is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because obviously RCB fans are kind of the most put upon, but I wonder if like the worst franchise to follow hasn't been Punjab, because at least Delhi have given you a run.
Yeah.
Right. Punjab have given you two seasons, and the one season when they won a bunch of games, they didn't do anything with it anyway. Actually, they've probably only given you one season, haven't they?
I would love to see what the, you know, percentage would look like if you take 2014 out and 2008 out. Because I remember the Sean Marsh team was really, really good. They actually looked like contenders. And then 78% is a very high win percentage, right? So in 2014, that's the best year one of or any team has ever had. One of the best years in the regular season.
I think it is. I think it's the best regular season. I'm pretty sure of that, mate. I'd have to go back and check my numbers. But it's certainly, when you look at the graphic I made, it's the biggest chunk on the map.
Most the volume.
Yeah, the most volume. So I think that's right. They've just been kind of dreadful. And look, this is, I mean, I've dealt with a few ownership groups in my time, but, you know, they were really bad as an ownership group to deal with, and the way that they thought about things, I'm not surprised they are where they are. I remember a couple of years ago, I did a preview, it might have been 2 years ago, whenever Odeon Smith was picked up, and I did a, you know, report. I said, look, still don't like this team, don't really see where it's going, et cetera, et cetera. And someone was like, well, we've got Odeon Smith now, and so everything's going to change. I'm like, I've known Odeon Smith since he was about 18. Well, you know, known of him as a cricketer since he was 18 and known him since he was about 20, 21. If Odeon Smith is the man to save, a Punjab, well, let's go with it. But my God, he is not going to be that guy. So it's been dire. I mean, even more so than RCB, I kind of feel like that's the team, if you support, you deserve like a warm cuddle, right?
I mean, maybe it's Estelle's team because Brett Lee played for it for a long time, right? So. Those of you who know will know.
It's the kind of crap decision Estelle would make.
Actually, maybe that Quick Picks episode isn't even out yet, so no one will know. But anyway, it's time, Jared, to address the elephant in the room, or should I say the kingfisher in the room, which is RCB, the Royal Challengers Bengaluru, who were once owned by a bad boy billionaire. And they actually have a better success rate than Delhi overall. And they've lost three finals, so they've come agonizingly close on multiple occasions. And they've never won more than 64% of their games in a regular season. And that is a bit shocking because they have boasted the likes of, you know, some of the best or greatest T20 cricketers to have ever lived. You're talking about AB de Villiers, Chris Gayle, Virat Kohli. Like, they are IPL's nearly their team. That's what they are. And their fans feel it too. And I'd say they have one of the most fascinating arcs of any franchise T20 team ever.
Yeah, I mean, they picked a bunch of test players. And when that didn't work, they believed that batting would work. And one year they had Corey Anderson being their death bowler. And it's been bizarre. And Dan Vittori got a huge run with that team. And nothing really came from it. But you look at their overall record. And it's funny because, you know, Kings 11 have had one good year. Yeah. And Delhi had one good period and you know, sort of one other really, really fantastic year or a couple of other fantastic years. RCB really haven't had many fantastic years altogether, but their record isn't that much different to Rajasthan. They're quite consistent across, you know, of being getting regular wins, but Rajasthan won that first title. And so the perception is massively different from Rajasthan. Yeah. Right. And the second thing is, and you know, this is a really important thing for people to know, but big city, small city, right? Mm-hmm. Rajasthan is not, I bet it's Bangalore or Bengaluru as they are now. It's a massive city and an important
Huge.
City. And
it's the tech, you know, capital of India. It's the smart people city.
a lot of beer cafes, right? So then you throw Virat into that. Not to mention, as you said, Gayle and Watson and de Villiers and Maxwell. Like, they have thrown Hollywood, or Bollywood, I suppose, at this tournament, and it hasn't worked. So it's a fascinating one. And then on top of that, their fans are probably the biggest diehard actual group of fans.
It's them or Chennai, one of those two groups, right?
But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like Chennai fans are incredible, but I think Chennai fans are so Dhoni dependent. We might not know how big Chennai fans are afterwards. Whereas Bangalore, even though Kohli's there, it feels like they are RCB fans. The way they celebrated the women's win, for instance. Mm. Also, I could be wrong.
In the World Cup, the ODI World Cup, games in Bangalore or Bengaluru now, had that chant, RCB, and they weren't even playing. It was an international team tournament.
Exactly. So I do feel like there's something to be said for all that as well. But it's, I don't know when it went beyond the joke. Mm. But it went well beyond a joke a long time ago, and we're still here.
Yeah, and it is one of those arcs which is painful because you want Kohli to have an IPL title, right? And Gale and De Villiers and Kohli playing in the same side, you'd imagine them to win at least one. And then they did lose a final. So yeah, I hope that arc changes for you guys, RCB fans, because I wouldn't mind it. I would love seeing Kohli hit the winning runs and RCB win an IPL title, even though I don't see it happening, I'll be honest. Anyway, there have been, you know, some teams who have won an IPL trophy with low win percentages. So RCB will say that, hey, we had 64% in a couple of seasons, and Mumbai and Hyderabad won in 2015 and 2016 with 8 wins out of 14 in the regular season. And then Chennai won their first ever trophy with a 50% record in the regular season. But that, however, was back in the day. So in those days, the IPL had semifinals and a final. And then now we have playoffs, and the playoff system kind of, you know, it does its best to ensure that the top two teams, you know, have a better shot at winning the IPL. Of course, it has been adopted, this formula, by other leagues as well. And I like it in a league system. I'm not a fan of it in international cricket because I like the luck of the draw sort of knockout element of that. But in these leagues, it makes sense. But that change itself is an important part in the IPL story, right? Because it kind of changed everything for other leagues as well across the globe.
Yeah, do you know, I've probably mentioned this before, but I don't know if we've had the discussion. So it's taken from Australian sport.
Hmm.
So Australian sport. So
we have not had this conversation, by the way.
So English sport obviously believes that the best team is the team that wins the most over the year. Hmm. So they don't have a final in county cricket and Premier League, right? It's the team who wins the most points who gets it. Australian sport has always been very different than that. They've always had a finals situation.
Hmm.
The problem was, of course, back in the old days, when you only had 8 or 10 teams in Melbourne or Sydney or whichever sporting code it was or whichever league it was, it meant that you have to have a finals of at least 4 teams.
Hmm.
And if you have 8 teams or 9 teams and 4 of them made the finals and the fourth one just squeezes in, which Chennai did, you can steal the title by winning 2 games, which is ridiculous because the other team might have won like 5 extra games, right? And so Aussie Rules and I think Rugby League, I think those are the 2 sports. I don't know if Rugby Union was involved, but certainly Aussie Rules and Rugby League. And I don't know which one copied which. I don't know who invented the format. But of these preliminary finals, eliminator finals, and all these different things come from that. And that's how they've come into cricket. Hmm. They might have been invented somewhere else, but I don't think so. I think it was an Australian format, as far as I'm aware. And certainly that's where it got popular. That and satellite cities, that's all we've ever invented. But
and the IPL has borrowed both of those ideas.
Yeah. I'm not even saying we invented satellite cities, by the way. I think we just had them and then other people started going, oh, that's what that is. So you then, that makes sense, right? And so you really shouldn't win an IPL by winning 50% of your games and getting in. There should be a bonus for coming up. You know, the higher you are, the more chances you have at a cherry and everything else. As you said, different for a World Cup. World Cups are different in many different ways. So I'm not against that. But in a league where you have played 14 or 16 or 18 games or 25 games, whatever it may be, and you have shown to be one of the 2 best teams, there should be, you know, extra ability there. So they changed that, and I think it's much better. But it is hilarious that some of these other teams have had massive season, no trophy. Chennai, we're going to win a trophy with a 50-50 record. It really is a very, very bizarre thing to have happened. And probably will never happen again, right? Because there's more teams come in. No team with a 50-50 record would even make the finals now, I wouldn't think.
You'd often have this scenario, or have had this scenario, where 7 wins out of 14 games is not enough, right? We've seen those go to net run rate and someone has a washout and that team gets ahead, right?
Also, the 7 out of 14, they finished third because there was like 4 teams on 7 wins as well. So it was a huge clutter in the middle. And so there were 2 teams who had as many wins as Chennai and didn't make the finals, and Chennai won them. It's remarkable. I mean, they really are. As we said before, you know, the fact that they've won so many titles and missed a couple of years and had to go through all that sort of stuff, they really are an incredible franchise any way you look at it.
Yeah. It's interesting because in the English Premier League in soccer, you know, or football, the top four teams make it to the Champions League. And I initially thought that maybe that's what they were going for, but it makes no sense in an 8-team league or a 10-team league or even a 6-team league that number one or the first place team is or has the same privileges as the fourth place team. So I'm glad that that change of arc happened. All right, another team with a subpar win percentage are the Kolkata Knight Riders, who are at 51% overall and have failed to win over 50% of their games in the last 5 seasons. So they've been bad recently. But weirdly enough, they have 2 titles to their name. And I don't think the likes of Delhi and RCB and Punjab are going to appreciate that statistic too much.
No, I mean, the more I looked at them, the more I sort of thought to myself that they're not that special a team. You know, they've had some good periods, but they've not been a good team for a while now. And I think early on, there was a lot of hype that they were the really, really, really smart team. And looking back on it, they got Andre Russell, Shakib Alassane, and Sunil Narine. I'm not saying that isn't smart, but when you have 3 players who give you all-round skill and, you know, the flexibility that those 3 players give you, it probably allows you... and you look beyond that and you're like, what else have they done well? Like, there aren't that many things that we go, oh, Kolkata does this well. Or, you know, Chennai, they're really clever with the way they do this. Because both those teams had spin-heavy lineups, but Chennai have managed to be consistently winning with their spin-heavy lineups and Kolkata haven't. So it's a fascinating franchise because it's, again, another big city. And traditionally, you know, it's, you know, that ground is kind of the heart of Indian cricket. For overseas fans, that's the ground that we all heard about, you know, growing up.
Eden Gardens is the big one. And Shah Rukh Khan is that one Indian superstar that everyone in the world has heard about. So he owns
exactly. And again, so, you know, you've got a couple of things there that really, transferred that. Plus that first game with Brendan McCullum. You know, there's all these things that kind of stack them up. But when you start to go, when you... think about the fact they haven't won a championship in a long time. They do feel a lot less relevant now than they were. Whereas you would have had them at one stage. They were up there with Chennai and Mumbai as, you know, the main franchises. And there's a big gap between them and the main franchises now. No one thinks about them on that level anymore, right?
Their identity right now is Shah Rukh Khan, Andre Russell, Gautam Gambhir, and Narine. That's 4 people in a nutshell who describe Kolkata.
And those guys have all been there a very long time. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. They haven't kind of moved on. They haven't done anything else. So maybe they are a smart franchise, but we haven't seen any proof of that.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, it is one of those weird arcs in the IPL, but I'm happy they have a couple of titles to their name because it's good for the glitz and glamour of the IPL. Anyway, finally, let's come to the 2 best sides of the tournament or in the history of the tournament. Each of Mumbai and Chennai have won 5 titles each. And while Mumbai has won 5 titles in 16 attempts, Chennai has won 5 titles in 14 attempts. We've spoken of that already. But if you look at it, in 16 seasons, 10 of the titles belong to Mumbai and Chennai. So the domination has been... well, it's been right out there. It's in your face. And I just want to know, on a closing note, which of these arcs do you think is more decorated or better? Because on one hand, you have Chennai, who, you know, have won 5 in 14. And on the other hand, Mumbai won 5 titles in 8 years under Rohit Sharma's captaincy. So if you had to pick one in terms of the greatest arc of the IPL, which one would you go for?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
There's a movie called American History X. Have you ever seen it?
Yes. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
So there's a great scene when they're in jail and they're arguing about the Celtics and the Lakers. And they're talking about how the white guy's talking about how the Celtics is a dynasty. And he's saying, but the Lakers is a flare-up. If you think about it, Mumbai is a flare-up, right? It's an incredible, incredible run, but it's all in one go, right? So it's one generation of players that they got right and one, you know, and just went absolutely ballistic. Outside of that, they've not really been a major player, right?
Their bad seasons have been really bad. But just to thicken the plot, one of those teams is quote-unquote owned by the big baddie of the BCCI. And one of them is owned by the richest guy in India.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so you can pick your thing there. But the one thing I would say about Chennai is that they have consistently been a good team kind of all the way through. And you have to give Emma Stoney and Stephen Fleming and all the guys who make decisions with that franchise a lot of respect for that. And, you know, I've worked with Fleming a little bit, obviously at Melbourne. A very thorough person. Dhoni is, you know, we've talked about him before, you know, world's greatest pragmatist and, you know, an incredible cricket brain. You have to give them credit for being able to do it consistently, whereas Mumbai haven't, right?
Yeah.
And I think you are surprised when Chennai have a bad season.
Yes.
I don't think you're surprised when Mumbai have a bad season, right? Mm. But at the end of the day, they've both won five titles and, you know, it's kind of the race, you know, that will never end now, we
it's
hope.
It's the IPL Classico. That's what they call it when those two sides play each other.
Exactly. And you kind of hope that they both keep having, I mean, I would like the championships to be stretched out to some other teams a little bit more, but you want them to every, you know, 4 or 5 years to win a title and be within distance of each other winning the next title so that keeps going up. The interesting thing here is to go back to your 10 out of 16 point is we've had a million mega auctions. And it's all about keeping the league as level as possible. And yet the two biggest teams have won consistently over and over again. You would have to say, based on championships alone, right? And I think this graph proves that championships can be a little bit misleading. But on championships alone, you would have to say the mega auction has not really worked. And that essentially the best teams have won anyway, or the biggest teams have won anyway. But overall, I think both of those teams have been absolutely brilliant, but in very different ways.
Yeah, I would also pick Chennai just because I feel like overall they've been the stronger side and they're always a threat, whereas Mumbai kind of taper off in some seasons. But anyway, you guys, let us know which arcs were your favorite ones in the comment section below. If you like this video, click that like button, share it with your friends and subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And for all of Jared and our team's writing, plus all the videos and all of the podcasts, go and bookmark this website that I'm just about to tell you, goodareas.co. That'll be all for this week on Footmarks. We'll be back with another episode next week. Have a good one, guys. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.